They get it in. Mitru Long unguarded for three. Rattles it off the side iron, and Kansas has won. Rock chalk it up. 17 in a row for the Kansas Jayhawks.
Brian Haney.
And I would, like, lip-sync to their music. As embarrassing as this sounds, I'm pretty self-deprecating. But I would, like, have the hairbrush as my microphone, and I'd be, you know, jamming out, looking in the mirror, you know, acting out their songs on Bended Knee and Motown Philly and all that. And point is, I love Boyz II Men. Did I paint the picture too vividly? You know, we as a play-by-play guy crew, we have to paint the picture, but maybe I gave you too much information.
At times, that's a blessing, Brian. In this case, it might have been a curse. Yeah. Oh, and on that note, we bring in Mr. Haney, Mr. Lip Sync himself, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I'm going to talk some Biv DeVoe or All for One. What's on tap today?
Yeah, we can hit all of that throughout the rest of the season, man. We'll spread around the love. How's that?
Sounds good.
Hey, let's talk about the Hawks. Off to a great start, 6-0 in Big 12 play. And I don't know about you, but I thought that win on Monday up in Ames was very important. But two, I was really impressed by that win, more so than some of the other wins they've had this year. Tough place to play. They were in control throughout, and you know, Mason was banged up, Lucas stepped up, Mikhail Luke stepped up, and that's a tough place to win for KU and Ames, and to get that W, that's big headed into this really tough stretch they have coming up.
Yeah, that is big, and I think it was great to see this team play with a lead for the first time in a few games, you know, versus Oklahoma State. They didn't take their first lead until the 14-minute mark of the second half, which at Allen Fieldhouse is pretty unheard of, to not at least have a 2-0 lead at some point. And obviously at Oklahoma, it was a 9-point deficit at the half. And so to get out to an early lead and control this one, there were several stretches where a 9-point second-half lead was trimmed to 4, but every time KU would push it back out. It wasn't until Iowa State got it down to 3 in the final minute or so that they were closer than 4 in that second half. And so I think the way KU answered the call each time and didn't allow the ISU run to ever stretch out too big was really important. And I loved the way KU was able to take advantage of its advantage, which on that particular night was the size inside. Iowa State clearly lacks a true rim protector, a true center presence. And so we saw Kansas adjust the game plan a little bit and really make an even greater effort to try and get the ball inside. And obviously the 54 points in the paint speaks to their effectiveness in doing so, not just with the bigs, but guard scoring as well. You know, without that ISU player on the back line to alter shot, they had a lot of buckets inside by the guards too. So I think that shows you that regardless of the opponent you're up against when you're asked to win 6 in a row in March, that this is a team that can do more than just beat you with a deep ball with 4 different really good three-point shooters. You know, they can do some work to score before the catch, as Bill Self likes to say, which is all about positioning on the block and getting a seal on your man so you can get that easy hoop. Landon did that several times really effectively. Carlton Bragg played his best game maybe of the season. I mean, you could point at Siena 15 points and some of the nice contributions he had in that one, but come on, this is the Big 12 on the road. Not to sound like Dan Hawkins, but this is Division I Big 12 basketball, baby. Not intramurals, brother. And so I put extra stock when you do that on the road against one of the top 5 teams in the conference. And so for Carlton Bragg, let's hope it's a turning point type game as well.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, his appearance today brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701. And I had that on my notes to ask you about Carlton Bragg. And yes, Kansas did have the size advantage, but to me it seems like he just needs a little bit of confidence. And boy, he did play well. He played aggressive. And if he can elevate his game, even though KU doesn't have a lot of depth, that would go a long ways for this team coming up in this next short stretch against 3 really good teams.
Boy, would it ever. And, you know, I love the way Bill Self knows how to push the right buttons at the right time. He saw that Carlton had a good shoot-around that day. And for folks who don't know, shoot-around is a game day practice. It's usually about 7 hours before the actual game, in some cases 8 hours, I guess. And he just looked good. He looked energetic. He looked more assertive. And Coach was talking to his staff about it and said, you know, maybe this could be a good night for Carlton. And then in the pregame pep talk, he points at Carlton and Gerald Vick and says, hey, guys, these two are going to win this game for us tonight. And pointing out that the two bench players, the sixth and seventh men, may play a pivotal role. And sure enough, they did. Now he didn't know that Frank was going to knock knees early in the ball game and be less than 100% the rest of the way. He didn't know that Gerald was going to come up with some really pivotal defensive plays, blocks and steals that spurred Kansas to points in transition. But he sensed that both of them were due for a big effort, liked what he'd seen earlier in the day. And sure enough, I guess nobody should know the team better than him. He knew exactly that those two would come alive like they did, and they were big. And you know, for LeGerald, he'd had a big 17-point game at TCU, but had really been quiet ever since. And Carlton only been averaging about 3 points per game in league play, and over his last two games combined before Monday, had just 1 point. And he played just 9 minutes in the previous game. But Coach Self sensed a turn was coming for those two, and sure enough, it did. So hopefully that's a building block for both those guys. But specific to your question about Carlton, I mean, sometimes folks forget, this is the number 14 overall ranked recruit in the country 2 years ago. And I don't know if he's going to play to that level by the end of this season or not, but nights like Monday are a step in the right direction. And if they could get anything close to a top 50 player out of him going forward, you know, what an impact that would be on a club that is sorely thin in the post after the Azubuike injury.
Talk about the tough stretch coming up for KU. We would typically say Texas would be part of that tough stretch, but Texas is struggling. That's the next opponent for the Jayhawks coming up on Saturday. You can listen to that one on Z96.3 Lake. Pregame at 12:30, tip time at 1 from Allen Fieldhouse. Texas, Brian, is off to a rough start. 7-11 overall, 1-5 in conference play. KU at home. I think most people expect KU to roll in this one. What's been the problem for Texas? I know the leading scorer has been suspended recently, but they were struggling before he was suspended. What's ailing the Longhorns?
Well, it is interesting, the Seven Mac situation, because I don't know what the outlook's going to be like for him after the player suspended that you spoke to. And you know, Jared Allen's a big-time post recruit that is starting to show why he was ranked a five-star guy in high school and clearly one of the best young talents in our conference. But they've lacked some leadership at the point guard position, and ironically, they just got a top five point guard commit the other day, apparently. But so that's a spot that'll be shored up next year for Shaka Smart. But they've lacked that this year, and for a club that was picked third in the preseason coaches poll amongst the league, obviously they've lived nowhere close to those expectations. There's still some firepower on the perimeter, and obviously Allen inside's a great prospect, but they've struggled at times to put it all together. You know, without that floor general that we've seen some really good Texas teams have in the past. And so it'll be interesting to see what they come up here with. You know, I asked Bill Self the other day, do you worry about any type of look-ahead factor? Or with such a veteran team, leaders like Frank and Landon, do you not have to worry about that? And he said, you know, I hadn't even thought about that. He's like, but I don't think that our guys would be thinking about West Virginia, you know, on the heels of this one. But I was more thinking West Virginia, Kentucky, Baylor. It's a three-game stretch as tough as any team will face the rest of the season anywhere. And you hope that KU doesn't have any, you know, look ahead going on, because if you do, then you just give back what Oklahoma just gave you last night. And for those that didn't see it, you know, Oklahoma beats West Virginia in Morgantown in overtime, had a chance to win it in regulation, and Jordan Woodard misses the free throw, but comes back and hits a huge shot in OT, and they win, which just proves how tough the Big 12 is without a true weak link. Night in and night out, any venue, if you don't bring it, you can get beat. And I think that's a good reminder for KU to show up, guns a-blazing, protect the nation's longest active home court winning streak, and protect one of the best overall win streaks in the country with them and Gonzaga coming up on Saturday. Because if there's any thought to what the next week and a half is going to be after this one, then you know your margin for error shrinks pretty fast. And I would like to think a club as veteran as this one wouldn't have an issue with that.
Brian Haney's appearance today brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them 738-5701. And just to back up your point, I mean, just recently we had Oklahoma State at Kansas, and Kansas was pushed to the very end. Kansas 17-1, 6-0 in the conference. Oklahoma State, after the loss to K-State last night, is 0-6. So that proves your point, doesn't it?
It does, and man, they were so good to be 0-6. It's amazing the talent on that team. When you think about a winless Big 12 team, you think about somebody who's rebuilding, reloading, and you could say there's a little of that going on with Brad Underwood in terms of you know, bringing in some new post players next year, hopefully, and all that. But from a perimeter standpoint, other than Kansas and you could debate their regards versus Iowa State. I mean, shoot, I'd take Juwan Evans and Phil Forte and Jeffrey Carroll and put them up against most teams. And so it's astounding to me that they've not won a league game yet. And, you know, KU has to go down there on March the 4th. And we've been talking up here like, man, that's going to be a bear unless they just lose so much between now and then where their spirit's broken and they're playing out the string. But I've contended for the last week or so that they're going to eventually figure out how to close out some of these teams and win some of these tight games. They haven't yet, and yet, I don't know about you, Bud, but that doesn't look like an 0-16 to me when
no.
you look at that perimeter I just mentioned. They average 50 points a game between those three guys alone. So how they've not won games is beside me, but they'll figure it out, because if that's truly the lowest rung on the ladder and they've got a five-star point guard who's going to be a pro and is the fastest guy in the conference at Evans, and they've got one of the most prolific three-point shooters in the history of the conference and a guy that will in another week be the most record-setting holder three-point shooter in the history of the program, and Phil Forte, man, that's pretty talented 0-16.
Even if Oklahoma State is 2-15 in the Big 12, and KU's coming to town on March the 4th, that'll be their Super Bowl. And it's the Super Bowl for a lot of teams. So to me, it doesn't even matter what the record is, Oklahoma State. KU always struggles there, it seems like. Even in their 08 championship season, of course, they lost at Stillwater and then had a team meeting after that, and that kind of turned around their season. But they've always had some struggles there, and that's on March the 4th. West Virginia coming up on Tuesday. You know the Mountaineers are going to be ready to go. And I'm going to ask you about this because we won't talk to you again until next Thursday. I think most people think KU beat Texas, but as you pointed out, you can't look past them. West Virginia, a team that looked great against Baylor, forced the Bears into 29 turnovers last week, and all of a sudden people are talking nationally about, hey, this is a bona fide Final Four contender. Look what they can do. And then the next thing you know, last night, and we were just talking about earlier this week, I said that West Virginia and Baylor is going to lose a game at home that they shouldn't, but I did not think this was the one that it was going to be. Oklahoma winning 89-87 at West Virginia last night. Some people want to say, hand the championship to KU. I'm leaning that way, although Baylor only has the one loss, and it was West Virginia. But with that loss by the Mountaineers last night, they have to win that game on Tuesday, have any chance of getting a share of this title, don't they?
Well, I guess we could look at it this way. If they lost the game on Tuesday, West Virginia, they'd be three games back with, 11 games to go. That's not insurmountable, because KU would still have to face Baylor twice and West Virginia once more, but it puts them so far up against the wall with such a small margin for error that they would need some help.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, I feel like as good as this league is, you could go 14-4 and win the conference this year outright, not share it, because I think you're going to see more results like last night where guys. Conferences beat up on each other, conference teams beat up on each other, and I think for KU, they're going to get some help along the way, but they're still staring down the barrel at, in my opinion, five really tough road games, and you could toss Texas in and make it six, but the five in my mind that you hope you're able to get three of the remaining five are West Virginia, Baylor, K-State, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And toss Texas in there if they figure out the Tevin Max situation. You don't want to chalk anything up in league play and take it for granted. But, if KU wins three of those five, I think you can start to etch their name on the trophy, because you know they're going to go at least 8-1 at home in their nine Big 12 home games. So, to me, I think this is a pivotal one for West Virginia, because while they might get a little bit of help in those other league road games, that would force them to win out, basically, if they were in a three-game hole with a loss on Tuesday. So they'll certainly be fired up, and obviously there's a big difference between the West Virginia effort we saw versus Baylor when they forced 29 turnovers just a week and a half ago versus the Baylor Bears on a Tuesday night, and what we saw last night where, you know, they turned it on late, but clearly there was some shot selection issues and missed free throws and just not what we've become accustomed to seeing when they dominate at home. And I would think Kansas would absolutely get their best shot 1 week from Tuesday.
I'm glad you mentioned the figure 14-4. We were talking about that on Tuesday, is that Kansas, pretty much most people are going to say, I'll bet the house that KU is going to go, as you said earlier, at least 8-1 at home. A lot of people will say they go 9-0, and they're probably the only team in the Big 12 that will go undefeated at home this year. So if you're 9-0 and you're plus one on the field at home, then 14-4 to me, I think KU is going to get that. they would have to go 5-4 on the road to win 14 games. They already have 3 road wins, which would mean if you assume KU goes 9-0 at home, like a lot of people would, that you got to go 5-4 on the road and you already have 3 road wins. All you got to do is go, 2-4 the rest of the way on the road, and KU wins the title outright at 14-4. I know it sounds easy. It's fun to play with numbers, but I mean, Kansas, 6 games in, they've got this thing by the throat, it seems like.
It seems like.
Yeah.
And yet, we don't know what Baylor's going to do,
right?
Because we've got 2 games there.
Yeah.
So, if one of those 4 road losses in the little hypothetical you just played is Waco, and obviously one of the home wins would be the Bears, then Baylor's got to find more than 2 losses on the rest of their schedule, because they'd have 2 losses against them. And who knows? I don't know how that shakes out, but your point's a good one. And I think what we have to remember, though, is as much as we all believe 9-0 at home in the league is very realistic, let's remind folks what you just said and rewind the tape 3 minutes ago.
Yes.
The 0-6 Cowboys pushed Kansas to the brink at home. And I just think that while KU did technically blow Texas Tech out because they had that 12-point swing in about 90 seconds in a second-half run, which we're accustomed to seeing over the course of the Roy Williams and Phil Self era, where there's that one big run that just breaks the backs. I do think if we've seen anything through the first 3 weeks in league play, you're not going to see as many home blowouts by KU this year, just because the tide has risen through the middle and back half of the league. And while you may see some of these finals end up in the 10 to 12-point range, I think these games are going to be played a lot closer than what they would have been in previous years, because KU is usually good for one 25-point tail-kicking, a year at home on the opposition. And I don't know if we get that this year. Maybe Oklahoma on a midweek game. But then again, what did they just do last night in Morgantown?
Yeah, right.
They're a different team with Jordan Woodard. So I don't know. And we'll see Saturday what Texas looks like without Tevin Mack if he's still not playing. But my point is, I think more than we've become accustomed to seeing, you're going to see hotter contested games in Allen Fieldhouse. And it's no knock on KU. It's just that everybody else in the league is a lot more competitive. And so I still expect Kansas to win 8 or 9 of these home games, but it may be closer in more than it's not, and that means one of those could certainly go the wrong way.
You mentioned Oklahoma State. Let's not forget K-State was 88-88 until the final call of the ball game. So K-State almost won it on as well.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple games already, as you pointed out. One more question for you before we get to the off the wall, and that's back to the West Virginia game on Tuesday. We've seen KU go to West Virginia. The place is just nuts, and KU at times can get rattled, and we saw Baylor get rattled, 29 turnovers, which was an enormous amount for any team, let alone the number one team in the land. But is this KU team maybe more equipped to handle that pressure because of their good guard play with Graham and Mason and Jackson can handle it?
If Frank's healthy, which he should be, and I don't think that what happened on Monday night is anything fans should lose sleep over, I think he should be fine. Then yes, I think with a 4-guard lineup in particular, you've got all the ball handling you need, all the quickness, and you have all the savvy and experienced ball handling. Because keep in mind, in that starting lineup, the 3 true guards in the lineup are all juniors and seniors, and then Josh Jackson can handle the ball well. He's a freshman. So, you've got very good skilled players when it comes to handling pressure that have gone up against pressuring styles. And I think Oklahoma State, even though they don't press up and down the floor, the way they guard in a half-court set, coming out 30 feet from the bucket to get up in your business, I think that helped Kansas a little bit in getting set for West Virginia, because it's a pressuring style that folks don't realize. It's not just about the quickness and the physical imposing pressure they put on you that forces turnovers. It's the mental exhaustion that sets in when you feel like your hair's on fire for 40 minutes straight and you can't even exhale as you start to cross the timeline and walk across midcourt. It eventually wears on you. And I think that KU's battle-tested enough to handle that relatively well, and playing a team like Oklahoma State with the style Brad Underwood's implemented helped a little bit in that regard in terms of weathering that storm. So I would expect they'd do well, but like you've mentioned, that's been a tough place for KU at times in recent years as well. So certainly looking forward to it on Tuesday night. And, when you're Kansas, you don't make deals and say, well, we'll settle for 2 out of the next 3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're Kansas, you line up to try and win them all. Having said that, when we're talking about West Virginia, Kentucky, and Baylor, I'm guessing a lot of your listeners right now, even though we want to see this winning streak go forever, a lot of your listeners would feel pretty good if they could win a couple of those games. So be interesting to see over the next fortnight what this thing turns into as they take on three top 10 teams in about a week and a half.
Yeah, it will be fun and it will be interesting. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us. All right, Brian, ready for our off-the-wall question?
Let's do it.
All right, man. I've got three boys. They're 10, 7, and 3. And as you can imagine, they're a little bit ornery, and they get into trouble from time to time. What was the biggest trouble that you got into as a child?
Wow. That's a great question.
Singing too loudly? Singing too loudly?
Yeah. Man, that's a great question. I was a pretty good kid. I wish I had something juicy for you here. I think, you know, only once in my adolescence did we ever do any type of, like, major pranking or something we shouldn't have where we actually went and TP'd or egged a house. I didn't ever TP anybody, but I did throw one egg at someone's house once. And my parents didn't even find out about it until, like, a month later when my own guilty conscience, you know, made me report it to them. I guess the only other time I got in trouble, I was an aspiring golfer hanging out over at my grandpa's house, and he lived near a retirement home that was about 150 yards down the block, and I had a kind of one of those mallet head putters, and I thought, well, surely because it's a putter, I can take a full swing with it, and it's not going to go very far. Even though it's a mallet head, it's a putter, right? It's only going to go 50 yards. So I cocked back and hit that thing, and darned if I didn't hit it right on the screws. And it flies 150 yards, takes one hop on the pavement, and goes right through one of the windows of this nursing home.
Uh-oh.
And by the grace of God, it went in the water heater room and not in some little old lady's room that might have had a heart attack with a Titleist landing in her lap. But I was freaking out. I was bawling. I was so scared. And obviously had to pay for the window out of my allowance. So I'd say those would be two that come to mind. But for the most part, I stayed out of trouble. Nothing too crazy.
How old were you when you hit that golf ball?
I was 12 or 13.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Did you get grounded, or you just had to pay for the window?
Because I fessed up, it wasn't as bad. But I had to pay for the window and learn the lesson that no matter what club's in your hands, whether it's a putter or the driver, if you're in the neighborhood, don't take a swing.
One of the best swings you've ever had, right?
Yeah, I wish I could hit him that far now. Jeez.
Exactly. Well, honesty is always the best policy. Brian, we always enjoy our conversations with you each and every Thursday. We appreciate the time. Have a great call against Texas on Saturday and at West Virginia on Tuesday, and we'll talk about those games next Thursday with you.
Hey, thanks, Wade. Take care, buddy.
You too.
See ya.
It's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a call at 738-5701. We really appreciate Matt and Michelle allowing us to have Brian on every single week due to their sponsorship and their support of that segment. Once again, big thanks to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, joining us today and every Thursday at 9:30 right here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs.